Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Stonic. You're closer than you think to a 202 Stonic with flexible finance plans from your local Kia dealer.
And as you might just have heard Ray Darcy mention there, this is Traveller Pride Week. And there has been some coverage this week about the discrimination that travellers still face routinely in many cases in this country. And I want to go now to David Friel, who's up in Donegal. Good afternoon, David.
Good afternoon, Kate. How's things?
Things are good. How's things in Donegal today?
Yeah, it's not too bad. The weather's holding up rightly anyway.
Good.
It's a little bit dry. Good. We're not doing too bad.
Good, and a beautiful part of the country that you're in as well. David, you are, just remind people of your situation. You're currently in college. You're studying for a master's.
Yes. So I'm currently studying a master's in social care and social justice. I completed my bachelor of science in social care and social technology. And I'm a full-time social care practitioner working with children in care, specialising in residential care.
You would have been one of the first members of your own family to do the Leaving Cert.
Yes, one of the first members to do the Leaving Cert, and probably one of the first travellers in Donegal to obtain a degree in social care as well. And when I finish my Master's in Social Care and Social Justice, I'll be one of the first travellers in Donegal also to obtain that qualification.
It is a huge achievement, because we know there've been a lot of issues about, you know, young travellers in the education system.
Yes.
Would you have, what was your education background? Would you have gone to any? Would there have been special programs for travellers in your school?
Well, I went to a country school. So my mum and dad, when I was born, we lived in a 12-foot caravan on the side of the road. And then we eventually moved into a house out in the countryside, out in Rumelton. So I went to a country school of 100 pupils, and I was the only traveller within that school. Now, statistics would show that 7 out of 10 traveller children come from a family with no formal education, just as I did. And the experience there was overall good, but I did face, you know, discrimination, racism when I was there. And I was kind of just thinking earlier on about, you know, my experiences in primary school. And coming back at the age of 5 or 6 and asking my mum and dad why was I being called a knacker and a gypsy. You know, them kind of racial slurs that was used against me, not understanding that I was any different to anyone else. And that's very raw. That's a raw form of racism and discrimination at the age of 5, you know.
That's tough. Yeah, tough for a 5-year-old to understand or come to terms with. You would have, I mean, you as you said, you were the only traveller in that in the whole school?
Yes, in the whole school, except for my siblings, because I went to a country school, so it was outside of the town, and we were actually the only traveller who lived in that vicinity. So it was very difficult, that in itself, you know, trying to integrate into the community as members of the traveller community. And I remember my mum and dad got that house, and it was social housing at the time. There was an objection put in place. There was, you know, the residents of that vicinity signed an objection for us to move in. So there was a bit of hostility even before we got the house, and even before I went to the local school. If you can get that in the picture I'm depicting. But education in no means is easy for any traveller children. You know, when we think of secondary school, we only have 13% of traveller children completing it, compared to 92% of the general public.
What drove you, David, to you know, not just, you know, go all the way through the system and into onto third level?
Yeah.
What was the difference with you that a lot of people in your community don't manage to go that far?
Well, thankfully, the cycle of disadvantage was broken in my mother and father's generation. So they went through back to community education, primarily through Donegal Travellers Project and initiatives such as that, to obtain their junior cert, their leaving cert, and then to go on and get an academic qualification. So they work in the local traveller project now. My mum's the coordinator, and my father is the men's development worker. So the cycle of disadvantage was broken there. And even wherever I progress in my career or my education, I always say my mum and dad will always be my inspiration, you know, to come from such an educationally disadvantaged background and to obtain qualifications and to pursue the hardship that they did, and all the racism, discrimination and oppression which they have many stories of and examples of, was always kind of my drive. And thankfully, they had the education. And what I always say to everyone when I talk about education is key in realizing your human rights, your right to work, your right to housing, your right to healthcare. So thankfully, they were given the opportunity to do that. It broke the cycle of disadvantage and kind of inspired me to progress on through education and persevere through education.
Just interested in, like, you were saying from, you know, very young age, you were wondering, why are you being called a gypsy or a knacker or, you know, some other slur like that. Yeah. Did it get easier? Did you, as if your family, become more integrated into the settled community where you were there? And did you kind of park your traveller identity to some degree as you went through school?
Definitely. I think, you know, sometimes, as a member of the traveller community, and I have family and I have friends, I know other members of the traveller community that unfortunately, in the midst of Traveller Pride Week, have to feel like they have to hide their identity to gain employment, to gain education opportunities perhaps, or just to integrate into the community. So I think there's still a sense of forced assimilation going on in terms of travellers feeling that they have to assimilate, like the settler community, to be accepted, which is totally not right. It's not good for mental health, the mental health of the community, and as we know, the mental health disproportionately affects the traveller community. But over time, you do start to build relationships, you start to build trust, and you've got solidarity with some settled people. Not all Irish people are racist. I think that's something that's very prominent at the moment within the media and within conversation, that because of Black Lives Matter and other occurrences occurring globally, that we feel that Irish people are all racist. That's not the case. So you do build relationships with the settler community and you do integrate. You know, my partners, we have a child together as a member of the settler community, which in itself highlighted some inequalities that I face and which she didn't realise, you know. So you do, and we do have a great relationship now with our counterparts now where we live in my home house. So,
when you said there that your partner saw things that you possibly wouldn't have noticed or seen in terms of discrimination against you, like what kind of...
Well, gaining employment, so 84% of travellers are unemployed. I'm with her now for a couple of years, and the ease that she can get employment now, she has skills and she has qualifications and stuff like that as well. But she recently took up a new career of working as a healthcare assistant, and she only started her qualification, and immediately she found a job. So I think the kind of ease of finding employment, where I was doing a degree and I could barely get 10 hours in a local shop, you know, which was a real struggle for anyone to give me the opportunity to employ me. So it was just that's one sphere of it. The other sphere of it is going into shops and being followed by security men was just baffled her. But that was a part of my norm growing up, you know. Once they kind of affiliate you or know your family members or affiliate you with the community, there seems to be just a huge emphasis when you go into a store that the security guard alerted on high alert. And working in retail myself, that was very evident. You know, there's real discrimination and racism and the slurs that you would have heard from co-workers and management in regard to different ethnic minority groups was absolutely absurd.
Do you get a sense that people who might have, you know, certain views of people from your community, that they don't see that as racism in the way that they would recognise racism against people of colour?
Totally. And when people think of racism, you know, racism is the practice of a dominant group, which is a settled Irish white person, using its power to block minority groups, which is travellers, and realising their rights. So if we look across the spectrum, Kate, if we look at political representation, I think this is a good time to mention Eileen Flynn, which is a fantastic achievement of Irish settled.
Indeed, this is Senator Eileen Flynn now, we should say.
Senator Eileen Flynn, which is a fantastic, she's rewritten history for the traveller community, and it's going to be a voice for equality for all. When we think of that, you know, in terms of racism, only until recently we have had political representation. Now, that is at national level. At local level here in Donegal and at regional level, we really don't have any representation for members of the traveller community. If we think about accommodation, you know, we have 56% of the community living in overcrowded accommodation, 7%, approximately 1,500 families with no amenities during COVID-19, had no basic sanitation through COVID-19. And just to mention, as we're in the middle of the pandemic, you know, of all travellers that were tested, 43% were positive, which is disproportionately compared to the settled community. So across the spectrum, when people think of racism, they think of colour, skin colour, or kind of identifiable traits of an individual. There's only one race, and that's the human race. You know, racism is using someone's ethnicity as well and using it against them. So I think there needs to be a bit of education on that part.
Okay.
And exactly as you say, in Ireland at the moment, in Irish society, there seems to be a form of acceptable racism against the traveller community.
Okay, stay with me, and I don't want to cut across to you, David, but I have to take a break now, and I do want to bring in John McDonough, who's also from your own community, but we'll take a break now.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Good afternoon. John McDonough down in Fermoy, John. Have I got that right?
That's right,
yes. Yeah, John, you're there down in Fermoy. You're living in a caravan in a picnic park, is it?
Yeah, I'm living in a mobile home there in a picnic park there in Fermoy, Dare County Cork. I'm here over 3 years. 3 years in August, sorry.
And you're on a housing list there?
On the housing list there for the last 8 years.
Right. And we were hearing there from David Friel there just before the break that there's been a very high incidence of COVID positive tests among those who were tested amongst the travelling community. And you really want to drive home the issues around accommodation and the health issues that can follow from that for travellers.
Yes, look, like probably most of the travelling community and things like that are living there probably in sites, and probably some of them are probably legal parking here and there, you know, but down here where we are, like, we're here over 3 years, and I tell you the truth, the council wouldn't bring us in a public toilet, and they wouldn't bring us in any water or anything like that. And COVID-19, like, there's some members of the travelling community here that's living here in Fermoy, you know, was tested positive for that.
Were you worried about COVID? You know,
Of course they were. Like I said, so we five kids, like, my oldest is eight, and they're all under horizon.
Right.
Like I said, so we like, well, I'm drawing water over back to the garage. As I said, look, my father there is up in his 60s, and the mother. So, like I said, we didn't want to be going up around them with their kids. So we're trying to keep the kids away as much as we could there from the house and things. So we're just drawing water there from the garage there across the road from house the whole time. Isn't it?
I know. I suppose, and when you hear, you know, wash your hands. If Joe was here, he'd be telling you to wash your hands. That's obviously an issue if you're drawing water from. You don't have
a
running water.
Like I said, we even asked them. I got onto the council. I asked them and said, would you drop in a big yoke of water there for the kids? And they wouldn't do it. I asked them, so we'll put in a public toilet here for the kids. And no, they wouldn't even care. My mobile home was on fire there last year in March. Not this year, the year before that. And I tell you the truth, and I wanted the council to even come out to see what we did or like. They didn't care.
And has there been travel accommodation built in your council area?
No, there's no site. Where we are, like I said, there's no site there. There's houses there. They give out a few houses here and there, but sure, they're giving people houses down where I am here who already have houses. They're taking more of the houses and giving them different houses.
I tell you, one thing that really jumped out at me this week, there was an article about traveller life expectancy in the traveller community. It's really staggering how different it is than for the settled community. The life expectancy for travellers is 61, and that almost half of all travellers die by the age of 38. Have I lost John there? Sorry, John. I've lost John there. We'll try and get him back, but while I have, I think I still have David on the line. David?
Yes. First of all, I just want to empathise with John. That's a horrific situation to be in. But, you know, I just want to say and point this out for everyone listening here today. In 2018, there was 48% underspent of local authorities on traveller accommodation. You know,
this is a recurring. It's a recurring theme. We do hear it year after year that there's money being sitting in accounts, not drawn down.
Yes. What I would call to be done, Kate, is the Housing Act 2002 needs to be aligned with international human rights. And to be implemented into legislation that does not disproportionately affect the traveller community. And also, there needs to be a mechanism put in place that local authorities are going to be sanctioned, or there's a mechanism in place that they're held accountable. You know, international covenant on economic, social, cultural rights has called this out since 2002, that local authorities are consistently underspending on traveller accommodation. You have that man, John, on the phone who can't provide basic sanitation to his children on a daily basis because his accommodation is so substandard. You know, when does enough become enough? We had a huge tragedy with fire within the community where many of the members of the community died in Carrick Mines.
That was really heartbreaking.
And it's all these prejudiced attitudes we have. You know, it's ingrained in the community. 2017, seeing the mark of our ethnicity being recognised. And then in the same year, there was a study conducted that 55% of participants wouldn't want travellers to be community members. 83% wouldn't employ them. 9% didn't want them to marry them to their families. You know, at the end of the day, if we quote Nelson Mandela, he was a huge human rights activist. And one of his most touching quotes to me, anyway, is to deny people their human rights is to challenge their humanity. We're human beings.
I'll let people hang on to that thought because I am told I have to take another break. We're coming up to the top of the hour. But stay with us, David.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And we've got, I think, John McDonough back up on the line there. John, are you with us now?
I'm with you now. Sorry about that. My phone is knocked off.
No, you're grand. We've only a short time left, but you were talking to us about the very difficult situation you're in there with your accommodation. And we were talking about the short life expectancy that people have in the traveller community to begin with. I just talking to David there, and he was sympathising with you and the situation you're in. Your children, are they at school age at this stage?
No, there's two of them in school already there, and there's another two starting off school here in September, please God.
And would you like to see them going all the way through and maybe onto third level like David managed?
Yeah, of course I would have loved them. So look, the kids are not in luck if they don't have an education, look, as you know, you say. But look, as you were saying a minute ago about people not living long lives and things like that, that's a lot got to do with the council and things like here. My wife here, too, she's stuffing there with depression and things like just the way we're living and things. And look, sure, we might make that age or that age later, like I said, if they're not looked after properly either.
You were saying, yeah, that if you had the right accommodation, that would make a big difference.
Like I said, we got hot water there or something. Look, if you had electricity here or something, like we're running off a generator. That's what we're running off. Like I said, we'd go down to shop there every day to get food because we have no fridge and things. So we had to buy food like every day.
So you've no fridge? You've no fridge?
There's no fridge. We have a fridge, but it only works like when the generator go on. And we can't afford like to live on the generator there all day through. You're not like true.
You've no fridge, you've no running water, you've no hot water.
Yes.
And you have five young children under the age of eight.
Five young children, and there's another one on the way.
Right. That is a very difficult situation, and I can imagine a struggle every day to deal with all of those issues. And any hope at all on the horizon in terms of housing, John?
I don't know. Like, we never heard nothing back from anything. Like, we're in for houses. We told them, we got on to them with hoping there's a house down the road or down there not far from the father's place and things like that. And should look, it's going to look in one ear and out. Yeah, we'll look into it. And we didn't hear no more.
Okay. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to let you go again, John, because we're coming to the end of the programme. But thank you for that. And let's hope we hear more about this during Traveller Pride Week.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And that's all we have time for today. Mark McGrath was on sound. Lisa Marie Berry produced. Until tomorrow afternoon, have a great evening.